So we've all been made aware of everything going on in other parts of our world this week. So let's pay attention to that and let's figure out what we need to be doing. So I'm calling this morning's message, Sustaining Peace. And so here's my intro paragraph before as we get into this. Our world is being dealt yet another blunt reminder of the grim reality of our fallenness, man's inhumanity to man, which has continually replayed its depravity ever since Adam's haughty betrayal of God's loving provision. When Ecclesiastes declares that there is nothing new under the sun, this latest war, regrettably, is just that, nothing new. Information technology's global reach has, again, shattered delusions from east to west and north to south of the inherent goodness of mankind. As followers of Jesus, of course, we've never been under any such deception. Our urgent call today as the church is to respond to crisis by asking one more time, what do the scriptures say? And if we look anywhere else but to the word of God, to the truth, we're going to end up in all kinds of different places, but we're not going to know peace. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that scripture speaks to the circumstances we find ourselves in always, regardless of them. And so just wanted to look at a few passages this morning to remind us, what does scripture say, what we're to do, how does it instruct us? How does it maybe encourage us as we look at circumstances that are overwhelming and overwhelmingly bad? So the first one I want to look at, number one, is in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 18. And I'll read out of the Voice translation this morning just because of the freshness of it, but you've heard this before. 1 John 4:18, love will never invoke fear. Perfect love expels fear, particularly the fear of punishment. So love never invokes fear. So if we're feeling fear, what we're doing is we're not looking at the truth. So there's the truth of the word, God's love for us, always rejects it, repels it, pushes it away, like light pushes away darkness. And so as we look at the situation that is going on now, it's good for us to say, well, what does scripture say to that? And if there's love, which God's love is in us, God's love lives in us. And so our response is to look in, to see what does God speak to us? What is his response here? Is this more than God can even handle? Is this beyond his control? Well, you know, what we would think, what we would know actually from scripture is, no, it's not beyond him. He is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. So nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing overwhelms him. And you know, we had one pastor one time when we were at our national conference in California. He says, can you just picture God up in heaven and wandering back and forth and rubbing his hands together? Go, oh, myself, what am I going to do? You know, because God isn't overwhelmable. He is perfect. And so his peace for us is completed in love. So first blank there, peace as completed love. And John goes on to say, the one who fears punishment has not been completed through love. And so when we're fearful, when we feel things are starting to crumble or whatever, as we apply ourselves back to the truth, back to who God is, back to who God has called us to be, we discover again his love, which sets us at peace. And the illustrations of that are when little children are afraid and parents pick them up and hold them. And what do parents say? It's all right. And it's so calming for children to be in the arms of a parent when they say it's going to be all right. And they're hugging them and it soothes the child because all of a sudden, whatever was bringing on fear Now it's total security. I'm in the arms of my parents, my father and my mother, and it really does soothe them. And that's what God intends for us to do as well. We're his kids, and he intends for us to come to him when there are those kind of circumstances. And so I think that that verse there in 1 John is just a powerful, powerful reminder to us today as we continue reading news feeds of the developments and the different things that are going on and different people responding to it and giving their opinions. So then there's a psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 91, which I think really addresses this issue so well. So the first couple of verses and the last few verses, Psalm 91, 1 and 2, and then 14 through 16, and it says this: "He who takes refuge in the shelter of the Most High will be safe in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say to the Eternal, 'My shelter, my mighty fortress, my God, I place all my trust in you.'" And then from verse 14, "Because he clings to me in love, I will rescue him from harm. I will set him above danger. Because he has known me by name, he will call on me and I will answer. I'll be with him through the hard times. I'll rescue him and grant him honor. I'll reward him with many good years on this earth and let him witness my salvation." Such powerful encouragement then, 1,000 years before Jesus. Such encouragement to us today that this is scripture. This is God's plan. This is how big God is. And so regardless of whatever earthly circumstances we find ourselves in or others in, regardless of how hopeless we feel, he is, as the psalmist says, he is the Almighty One. He is the Eternal One who knows no changing. And so I think it's good for us to come back to scripture in these circumstances for whatever our response has been to the warfare that's been going on and say, what is the scripture saying to us today? And so number two, it's peace as confident trust. So it's easy for us to get bad news and immediately start feeling like, oh no, and we start planning to how we're going to overcome or fix this or how are we going to respond. But the confident trust that we, regardless of what it looks like, what it feels like, and for some of us who are big on feelings can really mess with us and can really shake us. And so it's really good to recognize that there is an almighty, eternal God who cares. And these last few verses of Psalm 91, where God is responding to the psalmist. Let me just read those three verses again. It's so important. This is God responding to him who says, you know, I'm going to take refuge in God. But in the response is, God says, "Because he clings to me in love, I will rescue him from harm. I will set him above danger because he has known me by name. He will call on me and I will answer. I'll be with him through hard times. I'll rescue him and grant him honor. I'll reward him with many good years on this earth and let him witness my salvation." So the trust we have in God, I think the scripture speaks to this saying, there will be overwhelmingly frightening circumstances, things that we have no power over and are just going to happen. And our position needs to be, then at this point, I need to go back and I need to re-up my confidence in God. I need to remind myself, not just who he is, but who I am in him. And there are so many circumstances in life, I think, where we come back to that situation of just saying, this is what I need. I need to know that God is in charge. And if we are in the middle of freaking out sometimes, you know, that's when the Holy Spirit prompts us and go, but what about God? And it's like, Oh yeah, the minute we turn around, the minute we refocus away from the frightening circumstance onto the solid truth, the eternal truth of God, he takes care of that issue. And he reminds us again afresh. And then the third passage out of Matthew chapter 24. This passage, I used to really hate finding out that somebody was going to preach on this passage. That's because I just didn't understand what I was really looking at. And it was presented in a rather dismal kind of way. I hope it's not quite so dismal this morning. So in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking. And so I want to read the first of the six verses, 6 through 8 to begin. Let's just read the first, those three verses, 6 through 8. Jesus says, "You will hear of wars and you will hear rumors of wars, but you should not panic. It's inevitable. This violent breaking apart of the sinful world. But remember, the wars are not the end. The end is still unfolding. Nations will do battle with nations, and kingdoms will fight neighboring kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes. But these are not the end. These are the birth pangs, the beginning. The end is still unfolding." Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this circumstance, of course, has played itself out so many times since then, in the 2,000 years since Jesus gave these words. But here are wars and rumors of wars. It just seems like today's headlines. And what Jesus' command to them is, don't panic. You should not panic. And so this is what you can expect to happen. This is going to get bad. And so there will be these ugly circumstances that you will face, Jesus is saying. But for Jesus, supreme ruler, author and finisher of our salvation, to speak to his disciples and say, yes, it's going to be really terrible, but you shouldn't panic. You should apply yourself to me. You should recognize that this has to happen. This is the way it's going to be. So in 3A, the first three verses there that I see is peace as big picture awareness. We just need to be reminding ourselves what is the big story, the meta story, sometimes people call it. What is really happening on a much larger scale? And so as we look again at the big picture, it's like, okay, this fits. And we're not afraid because Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be like this. So it's not great news, but he says in the middle of this, don't panic. So come back to me as your eternal shelter, your shield, the one that you hide yourself in, and I will reward you. So big picture awareness is critical, not like this is something brand new that nobody's ever heard of before. This has happened so many times, and this is not the only conflict, unfortunately, in our world, obviously. So there are plenty of areas in the world that are under one form of oppression or warfare. Verses 9 through 13. As we continue reading here, it gets a little worse before it gets better. So verses 9 through 13 are like this. "They will hand you over to your enemies, who will torture you and then kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." I told you it was getting worse. "And many who have followed me and claimed to love me and sought God's kingdom will turn away. They will abandon the faith and betray and hate one another. The love they had for one another will grow cold because few will obey the law. False prophets will appear. Many will be taken in by them. And the only thing that will grow is wickedness. There will be no end to the increase of wickedness. But those who do not waver from our path and do not follow those false prophets, those among you will be saved." So Jesus paints a really grim picture here. You guys, you know, you're following me, you trust me, you place your confident trust in me, but there's a price to pay for following me. And there are people who are really going to hate you. And for some of us who are old enough, it seems like when I was a kid, you know, everybody loved Christians and it was a wonderful thing. And you just, you know, everybody was a part of a church family and everybody was up on the up and up. And well, those days are gone apparently, because that's not how it is in our culture today. So Jesus is saying, and being very blunt here, he's not trying to whitewash something going, well, you know, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It'll all work out. No, he's saying it's going to get really bad. And the only thing that's going to increase is wickedness. If we stop for a moment and look around and think about the things that are going on in our society, I think we could say it certainly seems like wickedness is on the increase. And so the B in number 3B, peace as persevering love. So we're not to be distracted. We're not to turn away, because if there is perfect peace, it pushes away the complications and the difficulties. And the computer's talking to me. So what we need to do, if we're going to know sustaining peace, we have to really set our hearts, set our minds on what is true and what doesn't change. And so he's the eternal, unchanging God. James tells us there's not even a shadow of turning in him. He can't deny himself. And so that's encouraging, even as we are thrust into this situation of dealing with another very uncomfortable circumstance. Then verse 14, as Jesus finishes this section, verse 14 of Matthew 24, he says, and this good news of God's kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, a testimony to all people and all nations. Then, beloved, the end, the consummation of all things will come. So here's Jesus doing the Omega thing. He goes all the way through the ugly part in the middle, and then he gets to the end. But in the end, what's going to happen is the good news of the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And it sounds to me in this passage that it's in the midst of this, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the proliferation of evil throughout the world and wickedness, that it's also, there's going to be a corresponding announcing of the gospel. And so Jesus is really giving, it's almost funny, you know, to say, after talking about the increase of wickedness, and he says, but the good news of the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world to all nations. These nations that were having a tendency to go to war with one another, as he said. So see here, as we kind of wrap up this part, is peace as overcoming victory. We know the end of the story. We've been told how it works. And as scripture winds up in Revelation, you know, there's an invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So God he knows it all. He sees it all. He's the author and the finisher. This is not the major undoing of his kingdom. We have an unshakable kingdom that we're receiving, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. And so everything that can be shaken will be shaken until only what can't be shaken remains. And that will be God, that will be the church. So we're the fragile little ones, and we have to really work hard like little children to stay focused, to not get our minds and our hearts and our eyes off the truth when things are overwhelming. So I think Jesus promises us, as we've looked at recently, this idea of his peace that he's promised. And I don't give you like the world gives, you know, I give you my peace, my perfect peace. That means everything. It's all there. It's unperturbable, if that's a word. So Jesus is giving the whole deal here. He's outlining it. He's developing the ugliness. And then he says, but the end of the story is we win. The gospel will be preached. There will be people who will hear the message. That's God's plan. That's his purpose. That's plan A. There is no plan B. God is going to accomplish his purposes. And so I think as we look and we listen to news reports and read articles and whatever on what is going on, it's important that we superimpose the truth of scripture on all of this so that we see not through rose-colored glasses, but we maintain big picture awareness so that it isn't the total end. We're moving toward it, but it's not there yet. These things are going to happen. Jesus promised us. And so it's important for us, I think, to remember, I'm very small. I'm very weak. I don't really have much say in any of these kind of things. But I can go back to the one who does and the one who is, the faithful one who never changes, whose face is always toward me, always loving, and always wanting to rescue. And so the difficulty that we have is, there's always a yeah, but, right? What about the people who are caught in this? What about the people who will die in this conflict? What about the ones who are persecuted and the ones who lose everything or lose their entire family or whatever? Doesn't that negate what Jesus says? I mean, isn't that like the end of it? I think what happens in those situations is Jesus rescues people. And yes, they lose their life here, but he rescues them by greeting them and taking them home. Can God stop all conflict, stop all war, get rid of all weaponry? Yes. But his plan has always been to give us will to do things that we make choices on our own. And so there always have been kingdoms that rise against kingdoms and fighting against neighboring kingdoms as we're seeing now. And so it's important for us to recognize this, I think. And I love this quote at the bottom of the page I put on by Thomas Merton. Man is not at peace with his fellow man because he's not at peace with himself. He's not at peace with himself because he's not at peace with God. So there's the answer. Our peace comes from being in right relationship with our Creator. That's what Jesus invites us to. That's the whole point of the gospel, to bring us out of darkness into his light so that we can remember and be reminded again of his goodness and his power. So is the conflict over? Not hardly. Is there more to come? Most likely. Can we be at peace in how we respond, how we talk about it? Can we promote peace as we discuss it? Not promoting hatred, not promoting all the stuff that some writers will want to promote. We have brothers and sisters in both countries who love the Lord and who are trying to be faithful. And there are many, many who are not happy with this situation and would like it to change. And so God cares for those people as well. We can be praying. We can be praying against the evil that is in the heart of mankind. I mean, that's our problem. And we have Adam to thank, and we've been dealing with this ever since the Garden of Eden, of course. So the good news for us is we can have sustaining peace. We can come back to the word. We can come back to recognizing that peace can be completed love. It's confident trust. It's having a big picture awareness. There's this persevering love as we go through the ugly times. We persevere in it. We don't just go, that's not working. Let's try something else. No, we persevere in it because there's an overcoming victory. I think it's important for us to do that. And today, as we share communion together, as we come to this time of sharing together, it reminds us that Jesus did, as I mentioned in my note yesterday, Jesus prepaid this peace of mind for us. He's taken care of all the details. He's worked it out for us. He's made his peace available. And so as we come and we share this meal together, whether we're in person or electronically, we are reminding ourselves afresh that he is the sovereign one. He is the eternal ruler. And he does know the end from the beginning, and he's not afraid. He is the epitome of peace, and his arms outstretched are to offer us peace again. And in the most difficult places in the conflict now between Russia and Ukraine, God is offering his peace. How he does that in his sovereignty, you know, it's like so many other things God does. We just don't really understand how he does it, but we don't know what he's doing in the hearts of people who are in those circumstances. And he can also erase, turn back, thwart whatever he wants to in this situation. And so we just need to be praying for his will to be done in this, praying for our brothers and sisters in both countries, and for all those who are impacted. We're impacted. I'm sure there's nobody sitting here anywhere this morning who's not impacted by what's going on and somewhat concerned about it. So let's just be thankful for the peace that Jesus offers us, this unperturbed, undisturbed peace that is ours. Let's pray together as we prepare for communion. Father, today we come and we still our hearts before you. We choose to calm our thoughts that are maybe all over the place. So many things pressing in, asking for our immediate attention. But we, with Mary this morning, want to choose the better part. We want to sit and look to you and contemplate you in all your glory and all your splendor this morning. We're your children. We need to know that your arms are around us, that you are bigger than this circumstance, that you know the end from the beginning. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega. And so as we come one more time to share in this meal, which you've encouraged us to share together, and each time that we would remember you, remember your love, remember your perfect sacrifice, remember the life that you have given us, so undeserving, so broken, so sinful, and you choose us, and you choose to invest your mighty love in the likes of us. And we are grateful this morning. Thank you for this love, which knows no limits. Thank you for this love that is greater than any conflict. Thank you for this love that conquers our fear. We thank you, Father, for these symbols that we share now, the symbol of your shed blood on the cross for our redemption, and the bread, the reminder of your broken body on our behalf. Thank you for these reminders that this is real. This is what you do. This is what you have done. And so we are grateful to be yours today. We bless you as we remember all that is ours in you. In Jesus' name, amen.